things I learned about how to live through a difficult marriage is that you have to forgive. Jesus even said to love your enemies. And unfortunately for my wife, she married a sinner. Unfortunately for me, so did I. And you just have to learn to forgive.
Wow, I guess so. Listen, I set that up because of two things today. We want to talk about marriage. I'll get to that in a moment. Also, this is a big reset day in America, isn't it? And a little bit later in the program, I've asked Laura, who's our senior marketing manager for the ministry, who is just a sweetheart and member of our team and does such a great job. The staff got together this morning, prayed for our country, and I had a chance to listen into that chapel. And we've asked Laura to come on down and share with us that prayer, to pray for our country on this reset day. And we'll get to that a little bit later in the show today. Dr. Randy, here in the Intentional Living Center, along with Jennifer and Stephen, on this Wednesday, thank you for being a part of the show. You can join us as we think about marriage. This is marriage. You know, we think about the power of marriage and the importance of marriage and the pain that comes when we don't live intentionally in our marriage. I want to help you today to start thinking about some really practical, intentional things you can do to start building a stronger marriage. And one of the things is to begin with understanding the power of forgiveness. Without it, listen, nothing happens. In our country today, come on, everything we've been through in this election process, there's got to be some healing in our nation. We got to have some reconciliation and focus on the future for the best of this country in a process of forgiveness. I know there's impact even in some of your families and relationships, maybe in marriages and so on. And so we want to be intentional in terms of living our lives to bring glory to God. And this morning, our ministry president, Evan, shared with the whole staff the importance of prayer and prayed as a staff. And that was a precious time for the team. So today, though, we're talking marriage. Here's the question. Really, I want to throw it out. When you think about your marriage, what is it that's going on that I can help you be intentional with? One thing that would help you move forward in your marriage, a roadblock in your marriage, to take the faith that you have in Jesus Christ and put it to action in terms of your relationship, I want to help. Phone line is open, 888-888-1717, 888-888-1717. You know, it says in James chapter 2, what good is it, dear brothers and sisters, if you have faith in God? You know, faith in Jesus Christ, you have faith that your eternal destiny is heaven. But then James goes on to say, what good is it if you have faith but don't show it by your actions? You don't show it by your actions in your marriage. Don't show it by the actions in your relationship. You know, and then he goes on with this question that kind of grabs you by the throat. Can that kind of faith save anyone? And of course, he's not saying you got to have good works to get saved, but he's pointing out you got to ask the question. If you're not working to put your faith into action in your marriage, for instance, we're talking today, or in your family, what kind of faith is that? Is it real? It's a dangerous place to be if we don't, as believers, really start to live intentionally, living out what God has given us. And so, all right, with all that said, we got a full half hour ahead. We'd love to have you join in, be a part of the show by sharing either a question, something with your marriage. I'll ask you some questions, encourage you, maybe pray with you because we're here for you. We want the best for you in your marriage. Or tell us one thing that you've done to hit that reset, one thing you've done to hit a reset in your marriage, and it'll be an encouragement to others. All right, let's go. 888-888-1717. Let's go to Megan with a question. What's happening in your life, Megan?
I am a new believer, and I was recently baptized in the beginning of September. And I have just, I mean, God has worked so diligently and a lot on my life and on my conviction and on who I want to be as a person. But he called me when I was married to a non-believer. I was a non-believer. I was an atheist. And so, you know, just trying to pray for my husband, and still I'm just so excited about the Lord and knowing him and watching my life just transform and my intentions and my heart and my goals and everything about myself and who I was, being able to turn that over to the Lord, I'm just so excited, but I don't know, and I struggle with how to be my husband's wife through that and how to honor him and honor our marriage. You know, there's some issues in our marriage. I mean, it's not easy. I want to honor him. I want it to work. I want the glory to go to God. But sometimes I just want to shake him and say, you know, can't you see what God is doing? Don't you know? Don't you see it? And I know he does. And he'll say he does. Man, you've changed in this way or that way. But he just doesn't. I don't know. I just don't get it. So I would love any feedback that you could provide.
Hey, listen, congratulations. God bless you. You're giving evidence that this salvation experience and giving your life to Christ is real, because I hear it in your voice. You're just passionate. And let me give you a word picture, Megan, of what might be happening in your marriage. You've had this exciting encounter with the Lord Jesus. He radically changed your life. You're a new believer, and you're experiencing so much. You're thinking, why doesn't my husband see this and want this? You know what this is like? It's kind of like, you know, friends that come back from a vacation and they've taken all these great photographs of all the wonderful things they've seen and done, and they're so excited to share them with you, and they want you to experience what you experienced on that vacation. And after about the third picture, you're saying, oh, okay, yeah, that's great. Because you know what? They didn't experience it. And that's really what's happening here. You have this powerful, real, transformational experience with Jesus Christ. And one of two things with your husband, that's either a turnoff because he's thinking, she's crazy. Where, you know, what's happened to her? I mean, and secondly, he's blinded. He's blinded. He's in darkness. He doesn't get it. In fact, let me give you a verse that kind of, Jesus said this in Matthew 13, 15. He's talking about those who are not getting it. He says, your eyes are open, but you don't hear a thing. Your eyes are awake, but you don't see a thing. They stick their finger in their ears so they won't have to listen, and they screw their eyes shut so they won't have to look, so they won't have to deal with me face to face and let me heal them. Isn't it amazing? People right in front of Jesus Christ rejecting him. And so I'd say to you, Megan, and everyone who has a spouse that you love and your faith is real and you want them to have it, even if Jesus were standing there, would they see it? Would they accept it? Would it be real in their life? See? And so to be very succinct, let me encourage you. You said, I don't know how to be his wife. Be his wife. You're not the preacher. You're not the Holy Spirit. Right? You're not the evangelist. You're his wife. And if you want to make the biggest impact in his life, be a Christian wife, be the best you can be, do the best job you can. That doesn't mean you don't confront issues. You need to still do that. But when you do that, that's transformational. And allow the Holy Spirit to do the rest.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ.
So how do you love someone who's an emotionally weak person? I'm not talking about the normal emotions that we have. I have emotional weakness, but when it becomes a pervasive problem to the point where you can't relate well with a person, you can't communicate, you can't get along, it creates a problem, right? Where does our emotional weaknesses come from?
In his message, How to Love the Emotionally Weak, Dr. Randy explains how you can respond in a way that's healthy for both you and the other person. And if you support Intentional Living with a monthly gift, you'll be a part of a special group that gets this message, along with unlimited access to Dr. Randy's exclusive content. So don't wait. Give now, and you'll get access to these life-changing resources by calling 888-888-1717 today or visiting theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com.
Hey, listen, I hope you'll do that. We are here because we love you. We want the best for you. God is blessing so many people through the ministry of Intentional Living because of your faithfulness and your prayers and your support. We're not asking for a lot. We just want you to be a part of it. I just heard last night that this annual election, we had this election nationally, all the cost associated with getting everybody elected and all the everything, $16 billion. That was with a B. Dollars. And we can reach more people for Christ with just a few. You know, a dollar a day makes a difference in the ministry. It goes right into helping us do more through intentional living. We're not asking for $16 billion, but we are asking if you'd pray about joining us with whatever God lays on your heart monthly. We'll make sure you get access to all the teaching, and together we can stay on this journey, all right? 888-888-1717 during West Coast business hours, or you can go to theintentionallife.com. All right, Diana, how are you today?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
Good. Appreciate your call. Question or comment about marriage? What's going on?
I have a comment about marriage.
Okay.
My husband and I will be married for 26 years in December, and we had a very rocky marriage. We had no communication, lots of unforgiveness and bitterness. And in 2020, I felt a prompting from the Lord to stop focusing all of my prayer on my daughter, our daughter who was ill, and to start praying and lifting up my husband, which I was not doing.
Huh.
And so I started doing that faithfully, and the Lord showed up. And in that time, so from 2020 to now, my marriage is fully restored. Our daughter has been healed from, you know, some mental illness. And he's just showing up every day. We're praying together every day, my husband and I. We're joining groups at church. Praying for your spouse is the best thing that a husband or wife could do.
What was the revelation that drew you to that? You were obviously a prayer person and praying for your daughter, and that's understandable. What was it that called you or led you to say, hey, I got to redirect some of this?
I actually felt it was a prompting from the Lord that had me do that. But we were, my husband and I were both believers, but we were not together. And I had such a desire to draw close to the Lord. That is where I knew our help would come from. But he was a little distant, and I think he was more angry. And so once we united together and started praying together and just seeking the Lord together, that is when we had freedom and breakthrough in a lot of areas.
Yeah, what was part of the anger, just what was going on with your daughter, and the two of you weren't on the same page with all of this?
I think, if I could speak for my husband, I think that he was angry at the Lord that she was going through the mental anguish with obsessive compulsive disorders and was at a really bad point. And maybe he had a little bit of upset that I was drawing close to the Lord and he was struggling with that.
Yeah, because you know why a lot of us as men, Christian men, I mean, that doesn't negate the fact we think we're responsible to fix things.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And so the fact that you started praying together, that alone, obviously you were praying for your daughter and other things, that was one of the things that really drew you emotionally and relationally closer to each other in your marriage.
Yes.
Mm.
Yeah.
How are you guys doing now?
Wonderful. We'll be 26 years married in December. And like I said, he serves me coffee in the morning. We pray together. We sit up late at night in bed together and just have prayer time. On a Friday night, we can just be there 12:30, 1 o'clock, sitting and talking about the Lord and praying together. It's just amazing when you surrender to the Lord.
Amen to that. Powerful. Thank you, Diana. Hey, listen, maybe you may have changed someone's life with that. You're listening to Diana. That's not some weird story. That's a reality. I mean, you think about it, just humanly speaking, when two people are in agreement, that's a powerful thing in any relationship. And then, of course, the underpinning of that being a spiritual part of the relationship, that we're in agreement, praying together, and I know that may not be you and your spouse in agreement spiritually, but when you find something in agreement where you can work together and get on the same page, there's intimacy in that. Intimacy is about two people, not only in proximity physically, but proximity in some other area. And when it's a combination of emotions and agreement about work or projects, and certainly as a Christian, spiritually, as you heard from Diana, that's transformational. It really is. All right, you're welcome to join in. What's God been doing in your life? One thing that's been a reset, something that's helped you, or maybe you have a question for me, we'd love to talk to you. Give me a call. Phone line is open at 888-888-1717. Julie is on the line. Hi, Julie. How are you doing in Michigan today?
Good, Dr. Randy. How are you?
Good. Appreciate your call. What's your question or comment?
I have a comment. My husband had suffered a stroke 22 years ago and is unable to speak, which has been a real struggle for us both. But he has turned to alcohol to take away his pain, and he is a believer. I lift him up daily for prayer and love and patience in this journey because he has so much to share, but he can't get it from his head where he's thinking it to communicate with me. And it has been a real struggle, but God has really given me patience and empathy during this time. And I find myself daily asking God to surround him with a protective veil to take this desire to drink away.
Yeah.
We have, even for him to go to church is very difficult because of all the sounds, because of his stroke, he becomes agitated or he'll get a really bad headache from the stroke in and of itself. So he's really struggling. Our pastor comes to the house and visits with him, and we are so grateful for that encouragement and that guidance through spiritual togetherness. It does help him, but what a journey.
Yeah. Well, you know, we talk about sickness and health and our vows, and that's what you're doing. And I'm so sorry you're going through this. What have you learned about yourself in this process?
I have learned to turn all of the control over to God. He is the one that is in control. He has lifted me up and given me a love for my husband I did not know I could have. And he's given me patience and the stewardship of being helpful, of being a helpful mate.
Powerful. All right. Thank you for your call. I think we had a line drop there. It's a reminder, you know, we're going to have problems in marriage, difficulty, sometimes physical, relational, could be any number of things. But when we learn the power of forgiveness, patience, communication, getting help, getting outside of ourselves, having community, it's transformational. We believe here at Intentional Living that we have to figure out what pleases Christ, as the Bible says, and then do it. Ephesians 5:10. And of course, that raises the question, what does Christ expect? What does Christ want? How are we to live intentionally in Him? And when we find that, it's kind of like it opens our eyes and we experience something brand new. It was Paul who made this statement in Ephesians chapter 5. He was talking to the Ephesians and he said, you guys, you groped your way through the muck. That's the way he put it. You groped your way through the muck once, but no longer. You're out in the open now. The bright light of Christ makes your way plain. So there's no more stumbling around. Get on with it, he says. Get on with the good, the right, the true. See, and we hear that as well in Philippians chapter 4 when he says, whatever things are good and right and pure and praiseworthy, think on such things. And then he continues here talking to the Ephesians. He says, these are actions appropriate for daylight hours. And then he says, figure out what pleases Christ and then do it. See, that's a powerful thing. That is intentional marriage, figuring out what is God's intention in this situation. And my spouse is an alcoholic, and my spouse is having an affair, I'm feeling depressed and lost, whatever it is, you know, how should I respond? When you do that, that is what intentional living is all about. All right, tell you what, we're going to take a break. We're going to be back, And Miss Laura is going to join me, and we're going to have some prayer. I've asked her to come and share a prayer for this reset in our government, what's going to be coming up for leaders around the country, from the president down through the local offices. I think that's something we need to do because the Bible commands us to do it, right? Pray for those in authority. But first, a quick break.
An emotionally weak person, when you're around them, you feel like you're walking on eggshells. There's that sense of, if I say something, or if I do something, or if I respond in a certain way, I'm walking on eggshells and they could crack. And so there's a sense of carefulness, being careful around this person. It could be that there's an overreaction to normal life situations. That's what I often will do when I'm feeling fearful or anxious. I'll overreact to little things, and Donna can tell you that. I'll overreact to them. And we all have these kinds of things, right? Another way you can see if a person's struggling with their emotions is, you know, when they're calling you on the phone and you see the caller ID, maybe you hesitate before you answer the phone.
Yeah, that's an excerpt from the featured lesson this month from our Intentional Living Center. It's up on our site for you all that are members. And what does that mean? You're supporting monthly to help us do what we do. Thank you. People always ask how much, you know, some of you want to know how much. Well, you know, we don't have a price tag to join the ministry. Whatever God lays on your heart. Well, what else? How much? Okay. The reality is the average gift for the ministry is about $1 a day, 4 quarters a day, about $30 a month. And whatever you're able to do, we appreciate it. We'll make sure you get access to all the teaching. And we thank you for doing that. 888-888-1717 during West Coast business hours, or you can go online to theintentionallife.com. Laura Krasuski is here, and Laura is the senior marketing manager of this whole place, aren't you?
I am.
What do you do as a senior marketing manager? What do you enjoy about that?
I really enjoy getting to coordinate different initiatives and campaigns for our various departments that ultimately will reach our listeners and our donors. It's a blessing.
And what you all need to know is, if you go upstairs, there's awards on the wall because of this lady's work. She's been winning a lot of awards for her marketing. And I'm thinking, shouldn't we as a ministry be winning the awards? Shouldn't we have the best marketing, right?
Absolutely.
To get the word out.
We do. Mm-hmm.
And Laura, by the way, some of you said, I remember that name, because Laura was responsible for my conferences. She was out there making sure that I got to where I needed to go and did what I was supposed to do and pointing me back home.
That's right.
And here I am.
That's right.
And you've always done an excellent job, Laura.
Thank you.
But I was listening in the chapel this morning, and our president, Evan Carlson, shared such a powerful reminder message at this day after the election, and then asked some of you to come and pray, as we're commanded to do. And you had a scripture and a prayer, and I thought, it's so appropriate. I think as a nation, we need some healing. It's a reset in our country. And I know we got people listening. You come from different backgrounds, and some of your candidates won and some didn't. Propositions won and didn't. I think we can all experience that. But we're a nation, and as Christians, we're commanded, right, to be in subject and authority to those in authority. And I thought it'd be appropriate for us to pray before we close the show today. Would you do that for us?
Absolutely. Dear Lord, please give wisdom to the incoming president, vice president, and other government leaders. We thank you that we have government representatives who believe your truth. Remind them to seek your guidance as they make decisions that affect our country and world. Send all those in government seats godly wisdom and good counselors. And Jesus, thank you for humbling yourself to walk alongside us. Help our leaders be willing to walk alongside each other. Our leaders might have different opinions and priorities, but give them the wisdom to work through those differences and work together to strengthen our country. Remind us that you have called us as Christians to be one body. And God, we thank you for helping to restore unity with the new leaders that you have put in place. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Laura. Before you go, you're the senior marketing manager, and you got such a passion for the Lord. When we're doing chapel, she's always sitting in the front row. She takes notes, and anybody speaking loves that. What is it about being here in the ministry? What do you appreciate? What is it that draws you to what we're all doing here?
it's been a blessing to be here for 8 years, and being able to do what we do to ultimately bring glory to God and help people understand the message of hope in Christ, it's very humbling.
Mm. And you've been out there in these events, and you've talked to people, and you hear things. What is it we're trying to, when you talk about marketing, what is it we're marketing? I mean, what is it that really turned your crank, as it were, to let people know we're here, and how are you doing that?
We have so many great things happening on the air, as a lot of you know, and tune in and listen, but we also have great things going on digitally. We've got artist interviews, book author interviews, videos and blogs, everything that you need to get those tools to live a more intentional life in Christ.
Yeah, and that's our mission. You know, in fact, I'm going to be doing chapel next week, and I'm going to talk about the three legs that we have of this ministry. And one is to affirm faith, right? That's what we do, affirming faith, which means we want people to know that faith matters. Faith in what? Here's a fact. Everybody has faith in something. Mm-hmm. They either have faith in their candidate that lost or won last night. And let's face it, that person or people are not going to get us saved. Mm-hmm. Or we have faith in money, or we have faith in our career or intelligence or whatever it might be. But ultimately, we affirm faith in Jesus Christ. And then we offer hope, right? Which is not only a feeling, but it's a fact. Our hope is in Christ. And then the third leg, kind of what we're doing here today, is to help us figure out what pleases Christ and then do it, and that's to live an intentional life in Christ. Amen. And that's a powerful message, isn't it?
It is.
All right, well, thank you for coming on down.
Thank you.
Now go back to work.
Okay.
Thank you, Laura. Laura is our senior marketing manager, and we have so many wonderful people in this building and, frankly, around the country at different office locations that are all here for one purpose. And our mission statement, at least my 7-word version of it, is pretty simple. We want to help you experience life as God intended, right? And when we do that, we fulfilled our mission. Thanks for helping us do it together. All right, I'll tell you what, we're going to stay here in the studio, and we're going to record your calls on this same topic of marriage. What has God taught you? What's one thing you've done? Or a question for me? We're going to record it, and the program will air coming up next Monday. So you can call Stephen's Ready for you, 888-888-1717, 888-888-1717. Again, the verse for the day, Ephesians 5:10, figure out what pleases Christ in your marriage, and then do it. I'm Dr. Randy, along with Jennifer and Stephen and the rest of the team. Have yourself a great day. This is Intentional Living, a ministry of Intentional Life Media.